What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype, episode 185. And if you haven't tried us out for breaks, the website is MojoBreak.com. We are breaking National Treasures Football Today 2020, chasing those Justin Herberts, those Burrows, that astounding 2020 rookie class, as well as Origins. We got Origins basketball breaking. We're breaking all day, 7 days a week. Check it out, MojoBreak.com, MojoBreakShop.com for your sealed wax. We got an exciting show. We're going to talk Topps NFT. The news dropped. They didn't waste any time. They already got NFTs in development. We're also going to talk Prism Football versus Select Football, because I don't think there's so much of a clear-cut winner anymore. So we're going to discuss that on how collectors are taking to both brands and who we think is, you know, the better brand out of the two. And, of course, National Treasures, we're going to be talking about that as well. Dan, what's going down?
You know, we're just running late, as always.
There's a lot of, you know, I mean, I got back from makeup a little late, and, you know, I was trying to get ready, you know, so.
There's a lot of moving parts, man. We got to do mic checks. We got to do camera checks. We got to get everybody situated. There's a lot of moving parts going on here.
Right. C-Rad, what's up, dude?
What's up, everybody? What's going on? What's going down out there in the collective world?
How do you feel about NT today? I mean, weird year, right? I mean, we had like the end of the beginning of the pandemic last year with 19 NT. Now it's 2020, but we're on the heels of like a big rookie class coming up too. So it's like, it's interesting, like all these like moving parts with NT. What are your thoughts? What are your initial thoughts about breaking it today?
Scared.
Don't be scared.
Scared because, you know, it is obviously. I expect the cards to be like NT football generally, with more so than NT basketball. Like, obviously we're chasing the big rookies, but you know, with NT football, like with way more players to go after, like especially for vets and stuff, it's a little bit more fun than ripping NT basketball. NT basketball, it really is just about the RPAs,
right?
But NT football, you can get some like cool vets, just not vet autos, but like, you know, with the shields and the more cooler looking patches that football can provide a lot of times. Yep. Compared to basketball. So
the out of the gate complaint that we're going to get, just to get the negativity out of the way, is that there is single color relics in this product. Mm. There always has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I understand it's like almost $5,000 a box. They're not going to change the configuration. So yeah, you're still going to get those rookie sticker autos of players that, yeah, this could be their first card that you've seen. And we pulled a couple today where I'm like, I don't remember seeing this guy through any of the products. But yeah, you're going to get those single color relics to 49 to 99. You're going to get those books that are single color relics, like the Terry McLaurin that we pulled. It's not flawless. It is a crazy price point, but just know going into it that not every box is going to yield you a $10,000 RPA.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a high risk.
It's definitely, you know, somebody asked us in the chat, and I think we'll do this. We're doing this NT segment first, so we'll do the baseball segment next. But so somebody was saying, like, what's the price difference from like back in the day? And you know, 2012, 2013, 2014, I'd say it was around like $500 to $600. Supply and demand has drove those prices up to $4,500 a box now. So we're looking about 10 times the amount of what it used to be. And I mean, the prices are justified, so I'm not saying the prices aren't justified. We're gonna have to wait and see with the RPAs. I mean, I'm expecting, if I had to throw a number out there, I'm expecting Herbert RPAs should be around 20 grand, right? 20,
yes.
20 to 30 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Do we agree on that? I mean, to justify the $5,000 a box.
Number to 99?
Number to 99.
Yeah, it, I mean, should I?
Yeah.
The thing is, if you bought a case for $15,000-$16,000 and you hit like the best RPA, you're in the black. You made it.
Yeah.
You profited. But I mean, most of the cases are going to be losers, right? I mean, based on the price point.
Most of, yeah, I mean, that's it's, I mean, always,
look,
it's
look
always
it
standard.
I'm just a ray of sunshine for you guys today.
But I mean, you do have Burrow, right? Burrow should RPA should
Burrow,
pay for the case.
Who,
you know,
maybe if somebody wants to tell me, is Burrow, I know I pulled a book and it was a redemption, is Burrow live? Do we know?
I don't think so.
Okay, well,
so,
and that'll change everything with the people who buy these boxes and cases and speculate and think that it's going to go up and they're going to hold it, well, they're not going to be able to hold it forever.
Right.
Number one pick being a redemption in there. Panini doesn't honor expired redemptions anymore. So you got like a 2-year shelf life, right?
It seems like it. I mean, I guess the good thing in for this year's NT is that he is the only one out of the main guys that we've seen. I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a redemption. Stay tuned for that. We're actually going to compare some of his prices to some stud running backs. It'll blow your mind. So we have a Select versus Prism coming up before that. But, he's a redemption. I seen Burrow as a redemption now. But luckily, Tua hurts. The main guys are all live, which is good. But what do you think? What do you guys think? Tua RPA. Now, for those that are like, what are you talking about RPA? Rookie patch auto, number to 99. It's the Justin Herbert image that we see here on the slide. That is the true RPA, and that's what people are hunting after when in terms of rookie autos. The one on the left is a throwback that's not as sought after, and obviously the one on the right there is just a auto. But the most sought after rookie patch auto design is that one in the middle there. And what do we think? What do we think that like the what do you think the Tua base goes for?
I think a Tua RPA is around $8,000, and I think the midnight that we pulled today, the number to five, that could be like a $10,000 to $12,000 card.
Yeah.
What is it, number two?
Number to five.
His midnight was number to five. It was a red. It was a midnight.
It was a red. They might have like different variations of the midnight.
That is interesting.
But it was number to five.
I think that's the first year they've done that. Because it's usually just one number on the midnight, yeah, usually.
Isn't it numbered to their like number?
No, it's like to 20 or something, okay, before.
Yeah. And that was the third RPA in that same box.
Mm-hmm. In the same box?
Yeah.
Yeah, one box had a Komet RPA, a Tua RPA, and a
DJ Dallas
RPA.
These are all true, or one of them horizontals?
No,
the DJ Dallas was the numbered one, though.
Yeah, it was the green, like the green parallel.
So
number
two
is number.
Jersey number.
Yeah,
yep. Okay. And then so, the Cole Komet was a regular RPA, number to 99, and then the Midnight Black. So
that's a good box.
Yeah.
That's a really good box.
Yeah, they're not all going to be like that.
Yeah, and that same case had a Jerry Jeudy RPA too. So it was like 4 or 5 in that one.
That's pretty loaded.
And then the second case had a Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl auto. So I mean, overall, ooh, NT Day's been pretty dang good.
But
for
no true RPA.
No true RPA in that case.
But you did pull a Jordan Love patch auto.
Yes, not an RPA. But
not an RPA.
Was that Petty on card?
And there was that Super Bowl foil one. And in the same break that we pulled the Mahomes, there was a redemption for a book auto of Burrow, but no RPA.
Yeah. So yeah, in just two cases today, it's been pretty solid. So, but we'll have to see. I mean, this is an extreme price point for football. This is basketball territory. Folks say that football customer, there's not as many football customers as there is basketball customers because it's more of an overseas sport with basketball. So we'll see if this holds up. I mean, obviously on the heels of Select is insane. Select keeps going up.
Insane.
So, but you're getting a lot more cards in Select. So we will have to see. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball and how pitchers have no respect, like Rodney Dangerfield. They have no respect in the hobby. And we're going to flip it to Cody. He's going to talk about these three pitchers. And I can't believe some of these prices.
Yeah, this is kind of something that I was watching Lucas Giolito and Shane Bieber last night, which was an incredible pitching matchup. Bieber got the win by pitching a 9-inning shutout, but it had to go to extra innings. He ends up getting the win. They won it in the 10th. He's been incredible. Giolito's been incredible. But it kind of illuminated something, and it's something that while I was doing the baseball series that you can find on Mojo Break Media, when I was coming up like the top 10 players in the hobby, there's no pitchers because frankly pitchers just whatever it is, it's they get injured more often, they're more prone to kind of flaming out, they just don't get the type of respect like you said, the Rodney Dangerfields of the hobby. So I thought, let's give them some shine. And look, we're going to talk about names that might be kind of obvious for most people. These are some of the best, but you might be kind of surprised just how gettable they are, I guess, on the secondary market. And the first is Jacob DeGrom. He's got two Cy Youngs. Between 2018 and 2020, a 2.10 ERA. It's one of the best in baseball.
Same.
I think the reason that he is not maybe at the level even of like Gerrit Cole, who we'll talk about, is he's already 33 years old. His rookie year was 26. That's old for a rookie. So there might be some thought of like, well, this is a great story. He's incredible right now. But how long is this really going to last? Well, here's a little food for thought. Randy Johnson, his first year where he had a sub-4 ERA, he was 26 years old. Max Scherzer, his ERA between ages 23 to 27 was floating around 4. Ever since then, 2.87. The guy's going to the Hall of Fame because...
a little more seasoned, baby.
Yeah, because of the things he's done in his prime years onward, he's going to the Hall of Fame. So if you think, well, I feel like maybe DeGrom, he just got off to a late start, like he's still got a lot of room to grow here, even at, I guess, 33 is not an advanced age, but when it comes to baseball, it feels that way. So... and let me just throw one more
thing. DeGrom's 33 years old?
33. This is his age 33 season.
He's aging well.
He's been the best pitcher in baseball for the last at least 4 years.
Yeah.
And just the craziest stat of all to me, his ERA plus takes into account the era you play in, the ballparks you play in, all that sort of stuff. His ERA plus career is 152. That's fourth best all time behind just Pedro Martinez, Clayton Kershaw, and Mariano Rivera. So
wow.
I feel like that's an easy investment. I just saw a recent PSA 10 Topps update with his autograph, his rookie year, sold for just about $2,250. Take that into account when I saw a Dylan Carlson. It is his first Bowman Gold, but it's Dylan Carlson, who hasn't really done anything, sold for $6,500. Give me the DeGrom.
Interesting to note what we were talking about before the show is that Jacob DeGrom does not have a Bowman first auto.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has a Bowman first card, but they did not make a Bowman first auto. And he was a ninth rounder. Maybe that's why. But, you know, they passed up the Bowman first auto, which, man, I could only imagine.
When did he make his major league debut?
That would have been, well, he was 26, so 2014. And he was rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And he plays in New York.
So it just took him a long time to just get up. Because, like, yeah, I mean, he really hasn't been in the league that long. But with some of these pitchers, you know, they do get better over time because they learn how to pitch.
Yep.
They learn how to, you know, they learn their control. They learn how to pitch corners. I mean, look at Greg Maddux. I mean, he pitched forever, and it seemed like he got better with age.
Yeah, and I think that there is, too, I think we're kind of at a tipping point with pitching. Because I think, like, pitching is, like, baseball purists love it. I think the casual baseball fans sometimes, I speak for myself, that when I first got into baseball, it was harder for me to, like, recognize different pitches. And I think if you're coming into the game, you're like, what's the difference between a slider and a curveball and a changeup? And you may not know that unless you played it for a long time or you've watched it for years. But I think things like, if you guys follow like Pitching Ninja on Twitter, which is an incredible follow, Rob Freeman's pitching mechanics account that really shows off what pitchers have. And you have probably the two most hype players coming into what's going to be maybe the most hyped MLB draft ever this season are two starting pitchers, Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter from Vanderbilt, who I think have already made headlines within the baseball world. And I think
related to
this is
Al or Mark?
That would be Al's son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Al's and they son, both have like swag. I was watching videos of them both, and I think Leiter was like striking people out and like doing some crazy, you know, like performance that, you know, just had a lot of swag out there for a pitcher. So
I didn't know if that was actually true. MLB is talking about pushing back the pitcher's mound 12 inches.
They're going to do it in the Atlantic League, in the minor leagues. They're going to push it back, I think, instead of being 60 feet, it's going to be 61 feet point one inch, I believe, something like
that's
that.
That's going to change everything.
It's going to completely change everything. We've got bigger bases. There's pickoff limitations in certain leagues. Baseball could look a lot different in the next 10 years. So the next pitcher I want to talk about is Walker Buehler. This is a guy I personally invested in over the offseason. I really believe in this guy. I got his first Bowman auto. It's not graded, but pretty much in mint condition for $150. And I feel like that's a huge steal for a guy that I think is on a similar path to a teammate on his team, Clayton Kershaw.
I agree with that.
Let's just look at Buehler's start to his career, his first 72 games. 25-9, 3.1 ERA, 428 strikeouts, a 131 ERA+. Kershaw in his first 85 games, 26-23, a 3.17 ERA, more strikeouts, 497, and a 126 ERA plus. There's more games, obviously, for Kershaw, but I really feel like Walker Buehler is about to make that jump. He's under team control in LA till 2025. He's still just 26 years old. I think he has a real good shot of having maybe not quite the career of Clayton Kershaw, who does, but I think that's a really good investment going forward. A guy who is going to be possibly on a lot of really good teams and a lot of possibly world championship teams in LA.
And he has some postseason experience.
Yeah, already got it with those super tight pants. Yeah,
everyone was
talking about it last postseason.
Pretty good postseason experience as well.
Yeah,
he was solid. He didn't have the Kershaw curse, you know.
No. Yeah, he looked very good. He looked very, very good. And then the last one I want to talk about is Gerrit Cole, who I think he's probably the one of the three who is sort of respected in the hobby already. I mean, you have 326 strikeouts in a season. I feel like you've earned that respect. But he plays in New York. I know his first Bowmans are with Pittsburgh. But if you can get a guy who's had already 300 strikeouts in a single season for, you know, under $500 for his first Bowman auto, I feel like that's a steal. I know it's not like it's just $100 or something. But like compared to what a lot of top prospects are going for, give me the Gerrit Cole. And even going a little further, just kind of doing research for this, like guys like who are going to be Hall of Famers eventually, Justin Verlander, I think Zach Greinke and CC Sabathia have a very good shot at the Hall of Fame. All those cards are definitely in a place where they are not nearly as expensive as some of these guys who have never even played a single game of baseball in the major league. So let's give some love to the pitchers. I just want to throw it out there. Pitching is fun. Pitching is cool when it's done really well. So let's give a little love to the pitchers. I do really think that come the MLB draft, things are going to change, I think, in the hobby, and people are going to give pitchers respect soon.
And I don't necessarily disagree. I think this hobby's forever changing. We never thought that football parallels would sell, and obviously they're front and center now. I mean, is there a chance that, you know, the trend could change? I mean, we had Strasburg.
I was
mania.
Like, it wasn't that long ago. In 2010, you had Steven Strasburg, and he lit the hobby on fire.
And we
he's the reason why we're here.
Right. Yeah. We didn't even talk about Shohei Ohtani. I know he's a hitter, but I think part of the reason
he's the best player in the league.
Part of his appeal is the fact that he can pitch, and he pitches really well on top of being a great power hitter. So I think that obviously plays into it too.
Well, Chris says problems with pitchers in baseball in general is it's patience is not a virtue of the collector. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you got to wait, 5, 6, 7 days before your guy pitches again?
Yeah.
I mean, if he has a bad outing, then it's like 6 days of like looking at your cards going down or possibly thinking about selling the card, especially younger pitchers. You know, if you have a Clayton Kershaw PC, that's different. But like, say you have Devi Garcia and you invested a lot. Now he's 0-5. You know, he's 0-5. I don't know what his record is now, but let's just say he was, you know.
I also think it's to what Chris is saying. It's like it also depends on what type of collector you are. It's like, are you a collector who you buy the card, you think there's a lot of value in it, and you're going to hold it long term anyways? Or are you somebody who likes to flip, which is a lot of people nowadays, they like to just do the quick flip. So like, you know, it really depends. So I could see that. You know, nothing surprises me in the hobby anymore. So I could see pitchers becoming a thing, even if for a moment in time, I could see it happening.
Yeah, and another side note on baseball, I noticed that Cody tweeted out that he think that his favorite play of the year happened yesterday. And I is that because of your love for the big man?
I love big boys playing baseball. I just love it. Williams Estudio, La Tortuga. Slide into first base, totally ill-advised. You should never do it. And yet it was a thing of beauty.
Have you seen that, guys?
I haven't seen it.
Absolutely wild. He is maybe my favorite baseball player right now. Alejandro Kirk is a close second. I love it. That's why I love baseball, is that a guy like him can play.
Top story, uniquely shaped ball player.
That's such a nice way to say that.
Uniquely shaped ball player.
If I could bring this up.
I'm not fat. I'm just uniquely shaped, is what I tell everybody.
What is happening? I mean, so you love the panda. Big fan of the panda.
Always let the panda eat. Absolutely. Let the panda eat.
He basically, I'm not finding a video here, but it was a high throw to first. He recognized that, slid underneath
the dude.
He was running down the first base line,
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and the throw came in a little high.
Trying to beat out an infield hit.
Yep, yeah.
I like it.
Yep.
And that could have gone so wrong in so many ways. Imagine that player just falling right on his head, and he's got this. It just could have gone terribly wrong, but I just got to love him. I just love him
well,
so
was
much.
He was safe then, I'm assuming.
He was safe.
He was safe. Yeah, it was a beast move. I mean, I won't deny it might be the greatest player of the year so far, but I don't know if it'll hold up an entire year. So here it is. Yeah, so
it was a play at first base, gentlemen. Relax.
Yeah, watch. check this out. Under him.
That was some Matrix stuff right there.
I think that was luck.
He does he does have that panda vibe to him. Dude, look how fast he moved down the line.
He does the I'm gonna hold the bat all the way down the
yeah, he actually might have been faster if he didn't hold the bat down the line.
Plus he's got the little ponytail too that kind of flaps in the
right
way.
Underneath.
Just everything about it, man. I just love him.
He didn't try to slide underneath the tag.
Do you think he just fell?
No, I don't think he fell. I think he slid just like, what am I gonna do? Get
do
down.
What you gotta do. So yeah, I saw that on Twitter and I had to watch that video and it was pretty amazing that the wherewithal to know how to slide right there. I mean, because I would put money that he's never slid into first in his entire life, and he did it right there. So
I think you're told if you played any baseball, you're told not to do that.
You don't do that. You definitely don't do that. So we had another release today. It's Origins Basketball, and we ripped the cases. Pretty nice stuff. LaMelo. A redemption again. So I think that pretty much all year long, Modelo, that's what I need right now.
Modelo ball.
We don't drink no Modelo. Modelo ball. Melo ball, a redemption again in Origins. So I think that pretty much, I think in every actually NBA uniform release this year, he's been a redemption. He was live, I think, only in the collegiate stuff. Am I correct?
Yep, right. Even in Flawless.
Well, I mean, Flawless regular, he has to be live, right? They don't have redemptions in it.
Or he doesn't make the set.
Oh. I'm hopeful. I mean, I have relayed my fears to collectors on our stream about LaMelo, about the possible if he's going to sign or not. But I'm hopeful that, you know, with the, obviously, he injured, I don't know if he injured his writing hand. I don't know if his writing hand or his not writing hand.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I'm hoping that because he has some time, he's sitting down now and rehabbing, like, he'll have some time to, like, you know, bust through some of the redemptions that he's been in for the last, you know.
I just hope, because we know how LaVar Ball is. You know how much he thinks so highly of himself. I'm sure he thinks very highly of his son, especially with his son possibly winning Rookie of the Year. I just hope it's not a situation where he's like, you know, Panini, we said we'd sign for X amount of dollars.
But
now we want five times.
Well, Lonzo had a good relationship with Panini.
Yeah.
True. Mm-hmm. I mean, enough to where they brought him out to the VIP party.
That's and he's true. And he's still signing for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it just has to do with either LaMelo hasn't had time or, you know, he'll just get to it at the end of the season.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. So Lonzo was good about signing his autographs, and he still signs for his autographs.
And he was at the VIP party.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, you know, a lot
that
of it
makes me a little more hopeful.
I also explained to people that because of the pandemic, we didn't get an NBA rookie premiere event, which is where most of these kids are signing a large majority of the first like 6 months of products.
Yep.
So we didn't get that. So that's and then people were like, you know, but every other kid signed, but like every like LaMelo's a top guy, you know what I mean? Like, he's probably gonna be a little bit more busier than Theo Maledon on the Thunder. So
right. And you know, one of my biggest pet peeves that I wish Panini would change, but I understand why they do it, is to show the mock-up like we see here with the Zion and have a rookie card logo, because they made the mock-ups to show the design and maybe they didn't have images of the new players yet, so they show the images of the old players, but then I think it's just super confusing.
It confuses a lot of I get that question a lot in the chat room.
Yeah, I'd rather have just a silhouette, like sometimes Tops on Bowman, they do like player and it's like a silhouette of a guy blacked out and shows it. Like, this makes you think like, oh, we're doing another year of Zion rookie autos. You know, because it's got the rookie go, but they do it just as a mock-up because they don't have images of Theo Maledon or Anthony Edwards yet. But it's super confusing. And when I'm putting up breaks, I'm looking for images, and I see these images, and I'm like, I can't even use these
because people are going to think that they can possibly get Zion rookies if they buy the Pelicans.
Exactly. So they're like, oh, I'll buy – or like if you do like with football, it's like a Kyler Murray. Like,
if
you
go on Twitter and anytime Panini will say – here's the sell sheet for this upcoming release. Like, look at it. Check out the mock-ups. And you see that comment every single time. Why does Kyler Murray have a rookie auto in, exactly, in a 2020 product? Yeah. Why does Zion have a rookie auto in 2021 product? Like, every, like clockwork every time.
Let's just not do it. Can we just not do it? Is that possible to Panini just to put us? It'd be easier. You wouldn't have to Photoshop Zion on that card. Let's just stop. But to break down Origins, it's 12 box case. Two hits per box, one guaranteed rookie autograph, whether it be a rookie autograph patch or a rookie autograph card. You're seeing some vets. I think Dan pulled an Oscar Robertson auto today. So
I did.
You got some vets in there, and obviously the star-studded rookie class with Melo, Edwards, Wiseman, even though two of the big three have gotten hurt for the year. But we still got that hype. I think we've seen enough that people and collectors are still going after these guys. So check out some more Origins today.
We got through 16-17.
Yeah, exactly.
with
there was
no
nobody. Now it's probably arguably
and
the
nobody.
Best. 16-17 class, arguably the best now.
Yeah, it's one of the better draft classes.
I mean, all around you got Jamal. I mean, Jamal Murray's hurt now, but Jamal Murray, Siakam,
Ingram.
Simmons, Ingram, a couple more I'm forgetting. Yeah. So. NFT. I feel like we've been talking about NFT every week, and we're going to talk about it some more.
It's the
Topps. You know, we announced, we talked about it last week, that Topps basically got bought out. They're going into the digital realm. Well, they wasted no time. They are releasing the NFT digital collectibles of Series 1 on April 20th, 420.
Oh, boy.
So, toke up and get some digital packs.
Yo. I don't know. I haven't read anything about this, but this is going to be
420
hot,
is not a thing anymore, right? Weed's legal. So you can't really have a day to celebrate it.
No, it's like Christmas.
It's like Christmas? Okay. Just okay. So get in front of your computer, get your bong out, and buy some NFTs.
Do we think this is going to mirror Top Shot, where it's going to be when the buying of the packs process? Is it going to be where, like, you just don't get one?
Well,
like,
Doug, let me tell you something. I have no idea.
I think it's going to be tough. I was talking to my friend who's still, he just got into Top Shot like a few weeks ago, 3 weeks to a month ago. And he recognizes that the market has dropped like crazy right on Top Shot. The market's correcting itself over there. But he's still interested in it. He still gets in queue to buy packs, and he still doesn't get them. So then there's still a crazy demand for it if he just wants some and he's not able to just buy at least one pack.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's not going to be quite Top Shot out of the gate, because it's baseball. We don't know how NFT is going to translate to another category.
And these aren't moments, right? These are actual digital cards.
Yeah, and because they've had Topps Bunt.
There might be some animation to them.
They've had Topps Bunt for a while, and how does that work out? Or is there people, you know, waiting in a digital line to get Topps Bunt?
That's true.
Cards? No, but I mean, there's that whole blockchain technology, and
I get it. I think on that day, I think it's going to be tough to get packs. Mm. Is it going to be sustainable? Who knows? I'm down. I'll party.
Actually, probably should figure out how much money they are going to make. I can do the quick math. Can somebody do some quick math on how much money Topps is going to make on this one? So they have standard packs.
Well, you got to worry. What about printing and distribution and all
that?
Cost that goes into it.
It does. Yeah, I don't know. How much? I don't know how card money is going to. So $5 times 50,000. So there's 50,000 regular packs, which contain six cards. Those are going to be $5. So for $5, you get six cards.
Quarter milli.
That's just on that, right?
Yeah, quarter milli.
Okay, and then you do 100 times, let's just say, 24,000.
24,000. Yeah. 24,000.
24,000.
2.4 milli.
Okay, so they're taking in about 3 million on this initial drop.
2.75 million. And that's not bad, because that can probably get you like a 1,500 square foot house in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Maybe more like a studio, but
it's not bad.
So what were you going to say?
Did Bun have parallels?
Yeah, I believe it did. Because I remember people selling autos and stuff like
now,
that.
Now, I looked at that, and obviously the price per pack for the standard packs jumps out at you as a really good deal. But the premium packs are where you're going to have an opportunity to get some of the ultra rare parallels. If you actually look at the odds,
yes,
there's a lot of of the really rare parallels that you don't even have a chance to get in the standard pack. So I know it's $100, but you're getting 56 cards, right? Mm-hmm. And a chance at like one-of-ones, which I don't think you get a chance at in the standard packs.
Yeah, it looks like 80% of the cards of the standard packs are going to be commons. So you got to figure you're getting five base cards and one possible.
What a world.
And then,
crazy, bro.
What a world.
It's only 59% of the premium packs. So the premium packs carry 45 cards.
Oh, I thought it was 56. 45?
45 cards. So, but you're only 59% of getting a common. That means that on average, 15 to 20 of your cards are not going to be common in the premium packs. So then you have the legendary exclusives, the epic exclusives. And I went on the website, and you can too. It's under Tops. on.wax.io/topsmlb.
Are they going to allow people to trade or sell sealed packs?
I don't know about sealed packs, but they are going to definitely, you know, trading their
cards. I get that, but I'm like, what if you can just buy, you know, 5-6 packs, hold on to them, and then sell them on the platform?
That would be the way to do it.
I mean, I have great ideas.
Yeah, so the epic from what I can tell, you can go on there. The numbered cards are only going to be in the premium, because the numbered cards are epic exclusive. Those are numbered to 70.
I actually love that. I love the animated borders.
The borders look animated. Epic exclusive is numbered to 76, and the legendary exclusive, there's only one. It's a 1-of-1. Those are only going to be available. The numbered versions are only going to be available in the premium. So
0.04% chance.
Yes.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
I don't like my odds, bro.
But here's the thing. They actually, if you read between the lines on all these numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Standard packs can just keep making them. Correct? Because they are not numbered. The premium packs run out, they might be gone.
Yes.
But the standard, since there's no numbered standard pack cards, they can just reprint more of them.
Yeah.
So if this is hyped up, then they could just make more of these. So
Collect them all. It seems
like the premium might be the way to go, at least initially. We'll have to see how this unfolds. But
do we think the bots are probably getting their programs on right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet bots at least take a chance on the first release and swoop up all of the premium.
Yeah, it's probably going to be gone in an instant, which is just going to be crazy. I still don't know what I think of it. It's a thin air. It's in thin air. We're just buying air at this point because there's just nothing tangible, and I have a problem with that still. I'm not over that fact. It may take me some time to get over that. I understand it's fun. It's going to be a pack opening experience, which the gambler side of me likes. I like the fact like that I can maybe hit a 1-of-1 and I can go through my packs, and that's exciting. But having the tangible aspect afterwards that's not there kind of sucks. I can't show it off. I can't flex my 1-of-1 because I could just take a picture of a 1-of-1.
But you have the ownership of that 1-of-1. Yeah, the blockchain.
I guess you could show it to the people on your app on your phone. Be like, look, check me out, bro. I got a 1-of-1.
Yeah, but that's not. We were just having this conversation the other day. That's kind of weak. Like how? Like I could actually just like
that's how somebody walks off with your phone.
Yeah, you know how people would flex it, like they'd have those fake bank receipts that would say like I had like, you know, $5 million in my bank account. Like, mm-hmm. Hey girl, here's my phone number. Like you could literally fake these NFTs and be like, I've got all the 1-of-1s. Just take pictures.
Yeah.
And be like, look at all these 1-of-1s, right? I got all the 1-of-1s.
I wanna know how I can get into the grading NFT market.
Oh god.
Yeah. I think you just broke the internet right there. I think
you're all that those stars, they don't spin the right way on that one. That's a 9.
PSA is already on it, bro. That's what they're just taking this time to do.
Jeez, that's crazy.
Been working on it for a while. Now I'm trying to think like how that would actually work.
And it's backed up by so if you're familiar with Top Shot, they are backed up by Dapper.
This, oh, it is Dapper too.
No, this isn't Dapper. This is Wax.
Oh, okay.
Wax.
Okay.
Dot which actually
.io,
which goes really well with 420. You got Wax on 420.
Yep.
So you can get really super high on the Topps Wax here, and but you got to create a wallet, I guess, and that's what makes it 100% verifiable in the cloud and blockchain. Ensures your collectible is verifiable and authentic. Blah blah blah. So that's,
man, you know, I remember having this conversation like 10 years ago. And we were like, man, digital cards are just never going to fly. Well,
we're here.
We have no idea what we're talking about.
We're here.
Yeah.
They're, is this going to be the thing? I know you love physical cards, but this could be it.
Well, that's what we are. But you know what? You were on to something when you were saying, and I love Amazon Prime, and I love DoorDash. But the immediacy of getting something is what is at play here. People can't wait for C-Rad, myself, or Dan to open up their break. They got to get it right now. They can't wait for shipping. They can't wait for the cards to arrive at their house.
They want it now. They want
to
flip it now.
They have to have it now, and that's what this plays to. Is it the immediacy of you buying something on your phone, you having it, your availability to sell, and that's where we're at. Companies like Amazon Prime have made us turn this into this society.
I'm in about Zed NFT horse racing.
Sounds fun.
I know about it.
I don't.
I haven't tried getting into it. It looks super addicting. It looks like a great time. You breed horses and then you race them.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people talk about it. I have a feeling that I'd be late to the party now.
No, man, it's never late.
It's pretty. I think it might be late, but I think it's. I think it's super cool.
I think it's cool. I'll tell you what, bro. I buy digital cards in a video game. It's called NBA 2K, and they don't bring me any real world value at all. Yeah. But I want to get like the newest LeBron and KD in there because I can use them in the video game.
Yeah, but doesn't it give you like more attributes in the game?
Yeah, like they always come out with better cards, which makes you want to buy more.
If you have
packs,
like a Fernando Tatis Topps card, it does not make your experience any better.
Yeah, but it does hold some monetary real life value though.
Well, I mean, based on what?
People.
Yeah. Like
yeah, I like I said, I might get there. New nickname for Dan, Dino Dan. It's your new nickname.
I think Dan's heard that one already.
Max says, let me slab that NFT. We'll do it. We'll do it up. We'll get a grading service going. Well, let's jump into the next segment, last segment of the show. It is select. Well, it's kind of a whole football segment all in one. Select Football, which just came out, versus Prism Football. And I wanted to get your thoughts. What do you think C-Rad collectors would rather have?
Probably Select.
That's my initial thought too. I feel like
probably Select.
Whoa, what?
I am a Prison guy.
What happened?
So if we're talking about my opinion, like which one I like more, I like Prism more. I have always liked Prism more.
We're talking only in terms of football.
But I think the collector, the general football collector, has always, and still, they prefer Select a little bit more. Even before when Prism wasn't popular, Select was popular. Remember?
Yep.
Yep. Prism, man, that's your daddy's rookie card.
Yeah, I prefer Prism. I prefer the OG because it's like, it is the branch off of Chrome, right? It's what it was supposed. It was meant.
But Select
it
has everything, man. It's got jumbo patches. It's got patch autos. It's got legends. It's got vets. It's got zebras. It's got everything.
Yeah, it's as a product, it is more loaded in terms of giving you like the low number, like the nice golds and greens and black prisms. Like it gives you that way more often than Prism does, right? But now, like for me personally, like Prism is even better now because they have the Color Blast. Now that I think that pushes it over the edge over Select, in my opinion. But you know, I think the general most people prefer Select over Prism, even right now.
I was a guy that would say, you know, Prism is king when it comes to football. But I think Select just like hopped over it, man. I think Select is, and in terms of shiny rookie cards, Select is king for football.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dan says no. Let's hear why.
I already told you. Prism. That's your daddy's rookie right there. It's old school.
Barely.
It's old school. Prism is what Topps Chrome used to be. When you look at basketball and you look at football and not necessarily baseball because they still have Topps Chrome, but it's the true rookie. Mm-hmm. I think Select is great, but I think it actually has too much flash. There's too many silvers. There's too many
colors. And they added a new level this year.
There's too much going on where Prism, you know exactly what you're getting. You get a silver, you're like, these silvers are really hard to get. You get a silver in Select, you're going to see 10 more in the same box.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I go Prism.
Plus the levels can get confusing for collectors. Yeah. Like they don't know which level they have.
I like the levels.
I don't even know. I got to look at the back of the card.
I don't even know. The other ones are a little bit harder to tell, but yeah. The left side there is the field level too.
Field level. Zebra. Which is the one you want if you're a football collector. That's the one you want. The one you see on the left side. That's the field level. The fourth level is the hardest one to get out of all the four levels.
Yeah, I mean, I just I think breaking it too, I tend to lean towards enjoying opening Select
because there's
more.
A variety for you,
and you kind of never know what's going to come, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't. You could have patch autos, you could have gold, you know, you could have the zebra, you could have the XR. I mean, that's the other element I think to me too is the XRCs. We're seeing QB1, which could or could not be Trevor Lawrence. I'd say it's a 99.5% chance of it being Trevor Lawrence. We're seeing those go for like $2,000. I mean, that's insane. So that's another element.
That's
like
awesome.
You got two rookie classes, in a sense, combined, mm-hmm. especially when you have a clear-cut number one like we have this year. We know it's probably Trevor Lawrence. Yep. So people that are wanting to collect Trevor Lawrence, maybe Jaguar
his
fans.
First Prism card, technically, right?
Yeah, they're scooping those up, and I think that's a difference maker. So we're going to look at some of the prices.
Well, you guys are new school. I'm old school.
You're old school. So we had a recent Tua Red, White, and Blue, which I believe is numbered to 199 on that one.
The club level is numbered to 99. Any other level is 199.
Gotcha.
And there we go with that whole confusing thing again. Like, why? Why do that?
Yeah. So every tri-color is 199 except
for the club level. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep on buying that Select.
Are you confused yet? Do you even know what's going on? Wait, say it again. No.
But we know cracked dice, though. That's always 99 on Prism.
So, I mean, here at two cards that are numbered to 99, the Prism almost doubles it. So, not quite there on that parallel. And then you've got Joe Burrow, Select Orange to 49, sold for 1,000 compared to a number to 49 Prism that sold for 560.
That's interesting.
So, it just kind of depends. Now, is that a new booty price? Maybe.
And I think, you know what that absolutely has to do with? That has to do with team color.
Team color.
Okay.
I was going to say that, too. I'm like, team color, it's not
fair.
What
do you mean? There's no purple on the Bengals?
Alternate jersey.
So, you know, obviously there are Select one out. But
double, I don't think a team color card should go. I don't think normally you would think it would be double. If it's the same number.
Parking lot level.
Tailgating level.
Yep. Shout out to, I forgot who said that in the chat room. When they said that in the chat room, I was dying on the parking lot level.
Yeah. Yeah, I have seen that person say it on IG before. I have seen that inside joke. Well, let's go move on to the next statement. The next segment. And it's just kind of mind-boggling to me, and it kind of goes along with what we talked about earlier, our pitchers worth buying. But what about running backs and wide receivers? So we've seen some stuff shake up in this hobby. We've seen wide receivers and running backs go for more than they ever have gone for. But you can kind of look at some legacy stuff. So we're going to compare Jerry Jeudy, which a recent field-level tie-dye, sold for $159. You compare that to probably one of the top five, if not the number one receiver in the game, DeAndre Hopkins, jersey auto rookie that sold for $150. Why would somebody, and you guys can answer this, and there may not be a right answer, why would somebody pay more for a non-autoed relic or non-autoed card of a guy that's a rookie that didn't really even have a great season compared to a guy that's probably one of the best in the game?
Well, that Select may be numbered to like $399.
Right. It could be.
And we're looking at a tie-dye that's numbered to 25.
Right. I mean, it's not exactly apples to apples, but I honestly think I'd rather have the D-hop long-term than I would rather have just the tie-dye rookie of Jerry Jeudy. What are your thoughts?
If I'm a newer collector, I'm probably leaning towards the field level tie dye, right? It's only number 25. Is it 25 or 49? Whatever it is, number 2. It's the hardest level to hit of him, and I'm looking at the D Hop. Obviously, you know, probably the best in the game right now. But if it's high numbered and it's a sticker auto, you know, I don't know if that's as desirable to me if I'm a newer collector. But yeah, I would probably rather have the D Hop than the base.
I feel
card.
Like my statement, and then the next.
I mean, you're talking about D Hop, a 2013 product. Like, that's a long time ago.
I get that.
A lot of the newer collectors may not remember.
They might have been born.
They might not even know who D Hop is. I mean,
yeah, that's
I don't know.
Not a lie.
Like, it goes with the basketball collector mentality that I don't care about the autograph. I want the low numbered rookie parallel. And tie dye has always been super popular.
Mm. It has. Well, how do you explain this? You've got a camo auto number to 25 of CeeDee Lamb for the Cowboys that sold for $1,200. Or you have Hall of Famer Calvin Johnson, Contenders, Gem Mint 10 for $500 more.
You went way. Mm. It's a Wayback Machine, though. That's 2007.
The Wayback Machine. Those new collectors' daddies weren't even born in 2007. Yeah,
that is, whew.
I mean, what has CeeDee Lamb done
I can't
to justify?
I was PSA even around to grade that?
2007.
I thought PSA
man.
Came out in 2018.
Yeah, I think they did.
Luka year.
The Luka
Prism.
Year. That was the first year that they came out. Yeah, I mean, but you look at this, and it really speaks to what this show's called, which is called hype. Literally, people are paying for the what could be, but nobody wants to pay for what's been. Like, that's a
what's established,
right? Calvin Johnson is going to be the greatest in the generation, probably in the last 20 years. He's in the top five, if not number one. He's one of the greatest receivers that we've seen over the last 20 years. Will CeeDee Lamb even be in the top 100? I would bet no. I would say he would not even be in the top 100 right now because there's always new guys coming in, but people are paying more for guys that haven't done anything than guys that are established. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me at all. And then you go to
yeah, that one I don't get. I would rather have the Calvin Johnson. Yeah.
And then you go to this Clyde Edwards-Helaire gold auto that sold for, I mean, it was best offer. Maybe it was a really good offer. But let's just say that one sold for $600. The same exact card of Ezekiel Elliott, $400. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire sold more than Ezekiel Elliott did. Does that make any sense?
Well, both of these guys are fairly. I mean, obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a rookie this past season, and Ezekiel Elliott was a rookie in 2016. But I think they're pretty close in terms of like their years in the league, right? It all comes down to the fact that probably people are more hyped that Clyde Edwards plays with Patty Mahomes.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too.
I know you're big on Dak Prescott, but you got to.
You look at that and go, okay.
If I'm
going to invest in one of these, and if they win multiple Super Bowls, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is probably going to be a better investment. Is Elliott close to winning a Super Bowl? Not as close as Kansas City, but that blows my mind because if one of those running backs on my team, I would take Elliott on my team every day of the week over Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you look at, like, Michael Thomas, probably we can arguably say is probably top five in the game right now, Michael Thomas for the Saints. I mean, he's going to get a new quarterback this year, right? But you probably look at his stuff, which he was he 2016?
He had a tough year, though. His cards probably are a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a silver prism of Michael Thomas for $140. Mm. You can get a ridiculous patch auto rookie for $100 of Michael Thomas.
But that's when all rookies were silvers.
Yeah, no, not for prism, I don't think.
For 16, yeah.
No, select. I'm sorry, not for select. Oh, yeah. It was a select. A select base card for $12 of Michael Thomas.
Mm.
But people are going to pay triple to quadruple that for Jerry Jeudy, for CeeDee Lamb. So
it's,
I guess
it's the what if.
But it never pans out. They never go up. Like, I don't know why people still buy wide receivers and running backs. I mean, like, if you look at the history, now the only X factor that we can say is there just more collectors now? I think we've came to the conclusion that that's true, right? That there is absolutely more collectors now that buy stuff.
Why aren't they buying the D-Hop?
Right.
Yeah, because like, they, because
even if the Judy goes up because there's more collectors, well, so should the D-Hop cards and the Calvin Johnson cards because there's more collectors out there.
Yeah, I just think that's probably does the new collectors. They just don't like you just said, like they don't really look back as much. They're into what they think is gonna happen hot now. We've seen this, you know, like we've done this show since 2016, and we've talked about this even when before this hobby blew up even more, like how it is now, where people were paying. Remember, I feel like we had this conversation with like sort of somebody like Ezekiel Elliott.
We probably had it last week.
That was on the Chiefs in 2017 that was more hyped up than Mahomes, the running back that's on the Browns now.
Kareem Hunt,
right? We were talking about like, why are people paying so much for Kareem Hunt when you know Barry Sanders goes for this much?
And we actually compared it to Le'Veon Bell at one point was like,
yeah, Le'Veon Bell was the one you could compare that to.
He was the best running back in the league, and his cards were dirt cheap, and you couldn't even say, oh, well, he plays for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh players sell well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. They do.
Here's going to be an astounding stat. Keep talking about that. I'm going to bring this up here. I want to actually compare, because we've contenders just came out. We can kind of compare older data with contenders, so I want to see what a Clyde Edwards-Helaire contenders auto sells for. Oh my God, that's a printing plate though. He's a redemption. He may not sign. He might be like LaMelo Ball up in this piece.
Or worse, Julio Jones.
Right. So can't find one. Looks like it's around $200 for a Clyde Edwards-Helaire contenders compared to Adrian Peterson, who sells for about $400. So,
wow.
You could literally spend another $100 and have Adrian Peterson, which is another guy that's probably arguably...
And that's a rookie ticket, but you could actually go through the best ever. You can look at Emmitt Smith autos, and you can look at Eric Dickerson autos, and you can look at, obviously, Adrian Peterson, but you could look at, like, Barry Sanders, all of the greatest running backs. And you're going to find tons of rookies that outsell those players.
Well, but to be fair, Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith, I think they've gone way up on the PSA 10s. Right?
I think
they don't have autos.
I was just going to say, I'm saying
just if you were to pull a select auto of Barry Sanders.
Yeah. Of current day, current day products. But I was just going to say also the you know, with the vintage stuff blowing up now, like they're like a lot of these guys, rookie vintage cards are actually like now valuable compared to like some of these guys' base cards.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing a pro set Barry Sanders go for like $200, which is insane. These used to be like $5 cards. $2,000 for a Barry Sanders 1989. So it's like the guys that are like just retired that are in the middle that dominated their position during the, like Adrian Peterson, like Calvin Johnson. Those guys don't sell for anything compared to the rookies. So it's just weird. Are they ever going to catch up? Is like D-Hop going to be a Hall of Famer and then his cards are going to sell then? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that they're... I believe that in time, these guys, rookie contenders, will go up in value the same way that we're seeing the Rice, the Sanders, the Smith rookie PSA 10s have gone up in value. I do believe that in time.
I think if the market that we're in right now is sustainable, that can happen.
Yeah.
I think if people get priced out and the market changes a little bit, those cards are the first ones to drop. I think those Barry Sanders rookies are the first ones to never get back up to that price. I think the current stuff, you always have the hype. You always have the rookies. You always have the what if factor.
I mean, you have a LaMelo outselling Lonzo, or obviously outselling Lonzo, but outselling Zion right now, it seems like. And Zion's on a tear. Jason brings up a good point. Herbert cards sell for more than most quarterbacks, and he's lost most games. Chargers will probably never win a championship with him, but for some people don't care. And I wanted to add to that point by saying, what happens next year? Let's just say four quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Lawrence, Wilson,
Fields.
Mac Wilson, Justin Field. We potentially could have five or six quarterbacks in the first round.
Oh, we're gonna be doing PYTs of
half a box.
Yeah, we're gonna be. It's gonna be one pack breaks.
Yeah, one pack breaks.
One pack. We got allocated 14 packs total. So we're gonna. That's basically what one box and four loose packs.
But I'm saying, what does that do? What does that do for Herbert?
Yeah.
Burrow, Tua, Hurts. What does that do to their cards when
they go
down? Not as they're just one guy to chase.
No, they go down. Like you. There's not unlimited amount of resources. People don't have unlimited amount of money to just chase every single year. You're either going to find a new quarterback and you're going to sell your Herberts and start investing in Lawrence or Fields or whoever, or you're just going to find a new hobby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but like, there is success stories. You look
Mahomes. You look
right?
at Patrick Mahomes, yeah. We always go back. Like, look at Patrick Mahomes. Look at Baker Mayfield.
I know.
What are we doing? What? Remember Baker Mayfield? Remember that old guy?
I think
he played in the leather helmet era.
Actually, I was just looking at Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield's a strong buy. They just added Clowney on that defense,
I think Baker Mayfield's a strong buy as well. Now, but if you go back to 2018 when
that
we were
was
talking about it,
yeah.
I was like, you're out of your mind if you're buying Baker Mayfield. And Doug was like, it's a great deal right now. You should just buy as many as you can. He's undervalued. Now I think he's undervalued. Now I think you're right.
Is he back at where he was in 2018 yet?
No. No, he's way lower.
Mm-hmm.
He's way lower. Because
he had a great season.
Baker and Dak Prescott are players who are undervalued. Actually, Dak isn't as undervalued as he was because I'm running my mouth over here.
So if we look over, this is kind of, if we look over the last 20 years, there's really only been two then, right? Brady and Mahomes, as far as you made an investment.
Okay, yeah, let's go. Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
Hot. Yeah, he had that one week where he had 5 touchdowns. He was outselling every rookie quarterback out of that draft. I remember that. I remember it was like we were breaking contenders, and people were like, I want the Bears.
Yeah.
You had Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson... I think he's a good buy right now. I think Deshaun Watson plays. I don't know what's going on, but I don't think you take.
I haven't heard much about the news this week.
Yeah,
I feel like I haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think if you can get a good deal on Watson, I think you buy him. But you go through Carson Wentz, Jared Goff. We could name all these quarterbacks that drove products up.
I guess that's almost it. You know, we talk about how championships don't matter in baseball, but I feel like that the championships matter the most in football because the ones that actually have sold are the ones that won championships, right? Tom Brady obviously probably wasn't on anybody's collecting radar back in 2000 when he was a 6th-round pick, but won one Super Bowl. I mean, you could have waited for him to win 4 or 5 Super Bowls and still made money. Bought in after the 5th Super Bowl, and you would have made money. Mahomes wins one Super Bowl, goes back to another one, and his cards have skyrocketed. So I think after the initial hype, they need to win the Super Bowl for their cards to go up. I guess you could say Josh Allen. Josh Allen was lower.
Josh Allen,
higher now.
Josh Allen was a really good buy for a while, and now I think you got to just hold off on that and wait for it to come back down. But I still think he has potential to be a good buy. But Kyler Murray, his cards are kind of untouchable at this point. They're through the roof.
But not compared to Herbert, though.
But you also look at guys like Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold just got traded for like a 3rd-round pick. He was driving products up. People wanted to collect Sam Darnold. New York. I feel like, oh, Josh Rosen, the chosen one.
I forgot about that kid.
Where's he at? Where's nine are great now. Nine are great. future that it's they actually traded up to just get an offensive lineman just to protect Josh Rosen going forward.
They did. That's the future.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell people on stream it's like Herbert. Like people are always us that's been in the hobby for a while. We understand what's going on, especially with football. But if you think Herbert prices are high, just wait until you see what Trevor Lawrence's prices are.
Oh, yeah. But then it's going to be a good time to buy Herbert. If you do believe in Herbert, it's going to be a good time to buy Herbert.
Well, I was just...
Lawrence prices are going to blow your mind.
I was just looking at Kyler compared to Herbert. So a recent PSA 10 Herbert sold for $7,000 on a Contenders rookie auto.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get
a new car.
You can get a Kyler for, well, this one's not graded. I would say you can get a Kyler for around $1,500. So you can literally get four Kyler contender rookie autos to one Justin Herbert. And the guy plays for the Chargers.
What is going on over here?
It's the new booty. He's the newest booty right now. That's what everybody wants.
Kyler was the first overall pick. We don't.
They have D-Hop. They almost made it to the playoffs. They just got J.J. Watt. Like, if Herbert's prices are this, then everybody should just be buying Kyler Murray like right now. Like, I don't get it.
If this is the Herbert price run, everybody should be selling Justin Herbert right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's the counterpoint there. Yes, absolutely. It's crazy. It's crazy times. And I mean, that's what drives this hobby. This is no surprise to anybody that's been in this hobby for a long time, is it's based on what the player could be. We see a year of the player, and we've already seen enough. We're moving on to the next year. We don't care about him anymore unless he's going to win a Super Bowl. And that's basically what it is in a gist. But that's what we live, breathe every day.
In football, every year we have this discussion. There's so many good buys in football. Especially during the off season.
Yeah, because there's a lot of that happens during the season, right? Yep. There's a lot of potential during the season.
Right now is a perfect time to, if you're not focusing on the 2020 rookie class and you're not prospecting yet in the 2021 rookie class, you can get some really good deals out there. You can go back in 19, 18, and 17, and you can get some steals.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the night. Not only Kyler, Daniel Jones. I mean, he'd be worth taking for a couple $100, getting a Danny Dimes, Drew Lock. I mean, you could buy all these underpriced quarterbacks, and I guarantee you one of them will mature in value this year based on this year.
At some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you buy like eight guys, you might be 4 for $8, you know, or, you know, you might be 1 for $8, but you might pay, that one guy might pay for all of the other eight that you bought, right? So it's definitely crazy when it comes down to it. So,
I can't believe that is what a Herbert contender's auto is going for.
It does say low pop on there. There's a number to 49.
Well,
that sold for $14,000.
Well, compare it to Petty. Look at Petty's PSA 10 real quick.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a lot.
But we can't seriously be comparing.
That's what people do.
You can't compare
Justin Herbert to Patrick Mahomes.
But what about the guys that really believe that he can be the next Patty Mahomes?
Well,
though? They're
wrong.
Could be. Yeah, look, 90,000. 60,000.
That's the ceiling.
Got a 90,000 burger burning a hole in your pocket.
That's the ceiling.
But look at that, 45,000. Like, look at the jump.
That's a 9, though.
That's a 9.5. That's a 9.5.
Well, that's your.
But a 10 is a 90, a PSA 10.
Yeah.
That's a 9.5 right
which
there.
Which the Herbert was 7,500 for the PSA 10.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's like, what, four or five times less the Patrick Mahomes price?
That's a pie in the sky right there.
So, you can make the. You could have five Justin Herberts to one Patrick Mahomes. So, you know.
And you could buy 90 Kyler Murrays.
You can probably buy 180 Danny Dimes too,
can buy every Josh Rosen card ever made.
Yeah, you can buy the whole. You buy Josh Rosen, come to your house,
or you can buy Doug and myself's Chamani collection.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll drive it to you too.
Herbert is
hand delivered.
Herbert is closer to Mannion than Mahomes, so you're saying there's a chance. Man. Yeah. The hype podcast should be every day. Hey, maybe sometime in the future, but yeah. But, yep, that is it for today's show. It was a great show talking about Prism versus Select. Comment below. What do you like better when it comes to football cards? Are you more of a Prism guy, or are you more of a Select guy or gal, I guess? So comment below in the comments here on Mojo Break Media. Make sure you subscribe on our Mojo Break Media channel. We got another break room episode coming soon. Guy played for the A's.
Yeah,
and,
baby.
He'll be opening some cards. It should be a really fun segment with Cody. So that'll be dropping probably next week sometime. And then we got next week's Hype 186. And as far as breaks, NT all day. We got Tribute all day. We've got Select all day. I mean, we still got
Contenders Optic too.
Contenders Optic, Black Diamond Hockey. I mean, there's so much product. I mean, I can't even get through the room.
It's a lot
that it's in.
I don't. So. Yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't. There's a lot.
There's a lot.
And there's more coming, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you might have to take some home, run out of space. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next week on The Hype. Peace.